We need to allow God to be God. And just as in the bulletin there, where it mentions some of the needs for singers in the church and different key positions in the church and to assist maybe in one of the one of the classes to help out to where that teacher can at least get one weekend where they can actually sit in the sanctuary. So if that's on your heart, pray about it. If that's on your heart, please come and see one of us. We're going to go ahead and turn the children loose. Turn them loose, because I know they're getting anxious. Thank you, teachers. We appreciate all your efforts. Can we be honest with each other for a second? Yes. No? Yeah. All right, you can leave. The door's right back there. How many of you like not knowing where your money's going? Nobody? So when you give your tithes and your offerings, you like to know where things are going, right? Yes. Guess what? You're going to start seeing where it's going. We're going to start posting a quarterly report of where the intake of the church has gone. That way, you'll know that we are being good stewards of God's money. As well, when there is a special offering, such as was taken up, started this morning, that will go to that offering. That will go to that purpose. And we'll put up a monthly notice, or a weekly notice even, for that matter. As the funds come in, you will see an increase. You will see a notice saying, okay, this is where we're at on this item. I think many times we get so busy doing church work that we forget that there's concerns for other people. They're saying, well, where's this going? You know, there's so many things that happen behind the scenes that many times the focus is on those things more than it is on letting the congregation know where it's going. So we're going to do that. We're going to let the people of this church know where their money's going. And it is to build your confidence in your leadership team. So, that being said, let's go ahead and start our service today. This has been a very trying week for me. Some of you who have checked the New Life for the Nations Facebook page have been praying for my family, my cousin's family. As I had a cousin whose 21-year-old son overdosed on methamphetamines, his third time. This time it got him. It breaks my heart when you see someone so young who has no hope. He, unfortunately, was a product of his environment. His mother fights the same issues with drugs. That, too, breaks my heart. At the last minute, I was notified that they would like me to do the funeral. I really didn't know the young man that well. In fact, I probably could count on one hand the number of times that I actually even met him. Now, I had already committed to do something else, to help another family member. And I was truly at a point where I did not know what to do. On one hand, I had committed to helping a family member who was in need. And on the other hand, I felt compelled to be there for my family in their time of need. And it was truly a struggle for me. I had to make a decision. And I talked it over with Jody and I said, you know, I really don't know what to do here. Now she could have said, well, now hold on. You committed to my side of the family first, so you got to do that. But she didn't. She simply said, you know, this is your call. As pastors, we're often called on at the last minute to perform things that we don't like doing. Many times, a last minute situation where we're forced to perform funerals for people that we don't even know. I've been told many times, whatever you do, don't preach them into heaven and don't preach them into hell. You know, many times when our loved ones maybe do something that takes their life or lives a lifestyle that is not agreeable to the Word of God, we try to minimize that for the family. But are we doing them justice? Are we truly helping the family by saying, well, he's probably good enough to make it in anyway? No, I'm sorry, I disagree. I don't agree with that. That is not what God's Word says. I'm not preaching him into hell either, though. I'm simply saying I don't get to choose. That was wise counsel. Don't preach him into heaven and don't preach him into hell. But preach God's Word. I had to decide whether I was going to stay and keep my commitment to the living, or whether I was going to reach out to the dead. It's kind of calloused, isn't it? Looking at it that way. Matthew 8 and 22 says, Jesus said to a follower, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Now we had a scribe who just told Jesus, Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere. And then this young man steps up and says, let me first go bury my father. Let me take care of that first. And you know, let the dead bury their dead. Man, that's cold. That's callous. What's up with that? I thought Jesus had compassion and had feelings for the concerns of others. I mean, did he not weep when he went to Lazarus's grave? How could he be so cold to this young man just because he wanted to bury his father? Well, the reason why is like a lot of us. When Christ calls us, we start making excuses. See, this young man, his father wasn't dead. His father was ill. So he wanted to hang around until Pops bit the dust. Then when he did die, don't forget, you gotta have a time of mourning. So when was it he truly planned on serving the Lord and following after him? How many times do we hear young people say, well, you know, when I finish college, then I'm going to get my life right. When I get a good job, then I'll get my life right. Oh, this is the good one. When I get a good job, I'll start paying tithes. You start paying tithes when you don't have a good job and maybe you'll get that good job. And if you won't pay a dime on the dollar now, you sure won't pay it when you have the larger income. You start talking about money and it gets quiet. Can I use this scripture as justification to ignore that family in need when they've lost a loved one? I really don't think I can. Because, again, it's a different set of circumstances. But I had to, again, I had to make the decision. So what did I do? Well, hey, have you ever met people who, you are wondering, aren't you? Have you ever met people who tie up their identity and what they own? Their possessions? They go and they live their life, and it's all about what they've got. And you go to their home and they say, hey, this costs this much. And this costs this much. And this carpet, oh, we had to special order this carpet. We had to have that imported. And it costs this much and this much. And their identity is in what they own. They have such a strong connection to their stuff. And then they wonder why sometimes they have problems developing relationships with people. It's because their possessions are their people. Their possessions are where their faith is. We live in the most blessed nation in the world. We truly are blessed. Our poor people live at a better level than two-thirds of the world. You may say, well, now hold on, Pastor. There are people who are homeless, who don't eat every day. You know what? If they eat once a week, they're doing better than two-thirds of the world. Two-thirds of the world. We are so blessed. We throw away more food than most countries eat. I don't know how I got on that soapbox, but how many times do we measure our worth by what we've attained, by what we've accumulated? And you know, you reach a point where all of a sudden you have to start asking the questions. Is this really important? Does this truly mean anything? I see so many people who work so hard to accumulate things, and then all of a sudden they have to move or they have to downsize, and then they're panicked because all those things that meant so much to them, what will I do with them? What am I going to do? It's as if they're having to give up a child. It's not a child. It's a possession. It's an inanimate object. So they have to decide then, what am I going to do with it? You know what I've found is the greatest thing about having stuff? Giving it away. Giving it away. How many times have you had something that someone really admired? Maybe they say, hey, you know, I collect knives, I love knives or whatever. And you say, oh, well, let me show you one. And you pull it out and they go, oh, man, that's awesome. You know that they appreciate that. You know that they have the same likes that you do. And to see them do this, you think, you know what? I'm going to give that to them. And they go, are you serious? You're going to give that to me? Yeah. I can't take that. Sure. Sure you can. Because I've had it. I've enjoyed it. God's blessed me with it. And I want to bless you with it. And that was a situation with a friend of mine. There was a group. It's a Christian, Christian Boy Scouts, if you want to call it that. An assembly of God is called Royal Rangers. One offshoot of that is called the Frontiersman Camping Fellowship. And in this group, you can pick a time period, anything from the Revolutionary War all the way up to the Mountain Man era, the fur trade era in the 1840s. And then you dress up in that time period. You wear the different period clothes, and they go out and set up encampments, and it's just really neat. Well, this gentleman was part of the fur trade era, and he was at a campsite, and this gentleman had a custom-made knife. And I mean, it's one of those that has its own zip code, you know. It's got this leather sheath that goes down almost to the knee, and you pull this thing out, and it takes a week for the tip to get out of the sheath. I mean, that thing was huge. Big antler handle, and I mean, it was awesome. And he was showing it to this friend of mine. And he said, "What do you think of that?" And he said, "Man, that's made by so-and-so. That thing must have cost you a pretty penny." He says, "Yeah, it did." He said, "That is awesome." He said, "Oh, man." I mean, they just went on and on about how neat this knife was. Well, he said that night, he went back to his camp, not thinking a thing about it. Next morning, the guy walks over. He said, "You liked that knife, didn't you?" He said, "Yeah, that's beautiful." He said, "Here, I want you to have it." I can't take that. He said, "Oh, yes, you can." He said, "You're not stealing my blessing." He said, "Let me tell you something. All night last night, I laid and I tossed and I turned." And he said, "I kept thinking, you know what? He enjoyed that as much as I do. What am I hanging on to it for?" Do you remember the story of the widow with the two mites? How she went and gave all she had. And she gave it into the treasury at the church. And how they said that she would always be remembered for giving completely. Versus the man who gave out of his wealth. Well, you know what? The story of this man giving this valuable knife to this other man so that he could enjoy it has been repeated time after time after time. So God used this one opportunity to give us a life lesson many times over, talking about it's not about us. It's about how we can help others. It's about taking what God has presented to us and bringing joy to someone else's life with it. Many times, you'll hear people say, "Well, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't have anything." I disagree. God didn't say live like a pauper. If God tells you, sell all your possessions and come follow me, you better get Craigslist fired up because you need to get rid of it. Or if he tells you, give it away, give it away. It's hard for us in America to do that because we've been trained since childhood that what you have dictates whether you're successful or not. But I beg to differ. That's not true. If anything, what you give away dictates whether you're successful or not. We need to ask ourselves, when we go out and acquire possessions, what's my purpose here? You know, I gave the example, when Jody and I were younger, we got bored, we'd go out shopping. Eventually, you have to pay for all that. But it was more than anything, it was just boredom. We thought that those possessions would fill that empty void. And as I've given the illustration before, we would get there, and it may be a week later, and we go, "What do we buy this stuff for?" Sometimes it was even before we got home. What in the world were we doing? So you have to ask yourself, why do you accumulate what you do? Matthew 6, 9 through 21 tells us, I'm sorry, 6:19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither does moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And here is the verse that I want you to remember. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your heart? Is your heart hoping to leave a great inheritance for your children that they can sell off? Because they don't want your stuff. If they did, they'd ask for it now. Or if you know that your child wants something, give it to them now while you can see them enjoy it. I had a friend tell me that his father came to him and he said, anything that I have that you want, you need to put your name down on it now. Because when I die, there's going to be a fight over it. He said, I don't want anything. He said, nothing I have. He said, no. He said, let them have it all. He said, what about this item? What about this? What about this? No, I don't care for those things. I just want our time to be used to the greatest benefit now. His dad had a tear run down his face. Now, this is a hard man. He was a hard man. And he didn't cry. That wasn't a manly thing to do. But it touched him so much that his son wasn't worried about his possessions. But his son wanted their time that they had left together to be made the most of. He told his son, he said, I'm going to start making out a list now. And he said, I want you to tell me some of the things that you would like to remember me by. He said, I've already told you. He said, I'm not asking you. He said, you're going to get something. So you might as well just acknowledge what it is you would like. He said, fine, I want this item. He said, good. Take it home with you when you go. He said, I'm not taking it now. You're not dead. He said, and I want to be around to see you enjoy it. Is that a bad way to be? Yes.
Our clock, a stained glass eagle, that he wanted to see me enjoy it for several years, and he got to do it for 4 or 5 years before he passed on, that he got to see me enjoy it because he knew I always enjoyed helping build the clock when I was a child, and the stained glass, he knew I liked the eagles, but I mean, he wanted to make sure that not only that I got it, but that he got to see me enjoy it.
So he got to still enjoy it by seeing that you had it and that you enjoyed it. All right, everybody, take your hand, put it up to your chin. Go ahead, call him. Say, look, Pops, you got this. You ain't going to use it. You're just waiting to die. Give it to me. You can see me enjoy it now. Does this sound silly? When we start tying our desires up in the enjoyment of others more than we do in possessions, I believe we're starting to get closer to where we're supposed to be. It's not about us. It's about, what am I on this earth for? To gather up toys? Guess what? He who dies with the most toys still dies. There you go. There you go. We all leave the same amount as Howard Hughes did. All of it. Can't take any of it with you. Y'all know the story about the millionaire? Had all of his money put into large bills and had it shoved in the casket with him. One of his good friends was one of the last ones who walked up there. He said, "How much money is in there?" Mortician said, "Well, there's $1 million in there." He said, "Excellent." He started pulling it out. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "That's okay, I'm writing a check for it." You ain't going to take it with you. Leslie Hyman served as president of the Midwest premier auction firm. And each year, she would auction millions of dollars worth of decorative arts and home furnishings from the estates of wealthy people. Now, we're talking a world of Van Gogh paintings, black lacquered desks that sell for tens of thousands of dollars. Nevertheless, her career actually made her desire for material things one of the least of her priorities. She said, I see people fighting about stuff all the time. You begin to realize life is not about possessions. A few experiences early on in her career helped to cinch her disdain for material things. Once she was hired to hold an auction in the modest home of a suburban family whose mother had passed away. As she held the auction, the siblings bid against each other for their mother's humble belongings. Not once before, during, or after the auction did they even speak to each other. Another experience she said she could never get over was finding a lifetime of diaries in an apartment of an elderly woman who had saved everything but had no children to pass it on to. Hinman tried to donate the diaries to the local historical society. They had no interest. She said she kept them for a couple of years, hoping someone would want them, until finally she had to decide herself, it's time to get rid of them. She said, "I now save nothing. After all is said and done, the true value of possessions is clearly seen." What are you saving? What are you saving that you think that, oh, well, someday my children will really appreciate this? You know, unless they're a six-year-old, give it to them. If you think it's really that important, give it to them and see how they treat it now. Shortly after that, you can take it back. But you're going to find probably in a lot of cases that their appreciation for it is not as much as yours is. Say, "Well, yes, but I bought it for this and now it's worth this much." Fine, sell it and give that to them. They'll appreciate that money. I'm not telling you what to do with your possessions. I'm just simply saying, let's put it in the proper mindset here. Many times we work so hard to build up a nest egg for our children, for once we pass on. And then to see, as the story said, to see children go to fighting over it. How many of you have ever been witness to that? Seen children fighting over possessions? Isn't it wonderful? Doesn't it bring out the best in humanity? No. What it does do is make us realize that what we have saved and worked so hard for doesn't mean the same to everybody. So, as we told Lillian, sell it all and go spend it, go on a cruise. We tried to get her to get a young boyfriend, but she wouldn't do that either.
I found when my mother passed, she's got two siblings, and there were a lot of things that didn't mean anything to me necessarily. But anyhow, I ended up giving several items back to the brother or the sister because it meant something to them.
Right.
It was their parents. Whereas to me, it's like, well, I don't have an emotional attachment to that. It's just, like you say, just like a money thing. So, and they were tickled to get it because my mother got it because she was the oldest, that type of thing. So I passed it on to them, so they appreciate it because it was their parents. And it's worked out well.
And you know what? That brings me to a knife that I keep. Folks, if there's an emotional attachment, hang on to it. Or see if your children have the same attachment to it. I have a Case XX knife that my grandfather carried. And I remember I was showing it to someone one time, and they said, oh, Case XX, that's an old one too. That's worth some money. Until I opened it up, and they realized every blade had been broken off and resharpened. And I mean, each blade was about this long where it should have been this long. It was so old and so used. And they said, well, that's just junk. I said, but it was my grandpa's junk. You know what? I realized that when I'm dead and gone, I have nobody to pass it on to. No, I don't need volunteers. But the fact is, whoever's going to get that, they're going to open that up and look at that and go, this is junk. You know what? It makes me happy. From time to time, I take it out and look at it, and I remember my grandpa. I have other things that, you know what? If I have a nephew or someone come down and I see them, say, oh, that is so cool. It's yours, buddy. Take it home with you. Take it, load it up now. We're not wasting any time because I would rather see that they're going to enjoy it now. Chasing the almighty dollar is not all we thought it was. You ever notice as we get older, we start to recognize that a little clearer? What are the things that truly matter? First and foremost, a relationship with Jesus Christ. Second, family and friends. You know, it truly doesn't matter who dies with the most toys. What matters is what contribution have you made to their joy? What contribution have you made to society? But even more important, what contribution have you made to the kingdom of God? We are so blessed. I've said it before. Sometimes it gets so frustrating to come in here and like Pastor said, see the buckets full and you're going, man, I thought we had it fixed. How you think Mill feels? Up that ladder he goes again. Just to find out, Mill, it's still leaking. Okay. But you know what? God's got it all under control. It's all in his timing. Yes, ma'am. That goes so much. This morning I heard it. Did you all hear what she said? Mm-hmm. All right. If we believe, with how much faith? Mustard seed must really be a big one, right? All things are possible. I want to tell you something. Who just said that? You said it? Dot leaned over and told me this morning when he was talking about us having everything caught up. She leaned right over and said, all things are possible. Absolutely it is. Everything happens in God's timing. When we put these buckets out and we say, this is going for the new roof, you can be assured it's going for the new roof. Pastor has decided that the car fund, they're going to go ahead and they're going to take that and they're going to apply it to the car that he has right now. Because how can we ask you to help us support paying for a new roof when we're also asking you to buy him a new car? I know for a fact he is touched by the generosity of this church for all those who contributed. Know that money is going to the car. But it's done. Now we need to focus on God's house. And that's what we're doing. God has opened the door. He's opened the windows of heaven and poured it out and said, okay, let's get all these bills taken care of. He's done that. Thank God and thank you all for being faithful. Now let's focus on the next task. You say, well, you know, I can't give that much, folks. Remember, the widow's mite. You may say, well, you know, that's not going to go very far. Oh, I want to tell you something. It's not what you give. It's what God does with it. God can do amazing things. If he can feed 4,000 with a sack lunch, I believe he can pretty much take care of anything. I want you today, ask yourself, what am I hanging on to? What am I hanging on to, whether it is physical or whether it is spiritual? What am I hanging on to that I think really means something, but when I get right down to it, is really not significant in the kingdom of God? If you find that thing, God lays it on your heart what that item is. Whether it's an item or whether it's an event that you're hanging on to in your spiritual realm. And God exposes it and says, you know what? Let it go. Get rid of it. Let it go. Then you know what? That's what you need to do. Why? Because God's cleaning house. God is cleaning house. It's a new beginning. And the way you start a new beginning is get rid of the old. Get rid of those things that are only a hindrance to you, that you've been carrying around. Jody gets on me. She says, now hold on. You are the worst person in the world about being a pack rat. Okay. I'm not going to say I'm not. She says, you realize you've been packing around steel, rods of steel that you're going to use. She said, you've been packing them around for the last 8 years. I resemble that remark. I have. But someday I am going to use those. Fact is, if there's a need and you have need of, you know, 3/4 by 3 inch rod of steel that's 20 foot long, let me know. I'll happily give it up to you. Except to be hauled off to the scrapyard, because I could do that. We all have things. And, yeah, she'll call me on it in a heartbeat. No, those are still needed. Hey, you never know when you're going to need an extension cord in, especially when somebody keeps cutting them up when they're in the yard. Well, we did a house cleaning or barn cleaning not long ago, and it's amazing all the stuff I got rid of. And, of course, you know how that works, though. The things you get rid of, there you go. There you go. You know how that works. I can't get her to understand that, but nevertheless. Okay, that is true. We did find that I had, actually it was only four, but they were multimeters that I couldn't ever find, so I did find them. And if you have need of a multimeter, let me know. Unfortunately, I could never find them. I'd put them away somewhere, and I'd hide them so good I'd forget where I put them. So I'd have to go buy another one. But you know what? What's it about? It's not about us. It's about Jesus. What are we doing for the kingdom of God? What are you hanging on to that's preventing you from drawing closer to Him? It's not wrong for us to have possessions. It's just wrong for us to put any of them before Him. So I'm asking you today, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, let it go. If it's a hindrance, it's something that you feel you have to have, and God's saying, let it go, then do that. As I was preparing this sermon, I had already written out a sermon that I thought was, you know, going to be the sermon. And it was just coming so difficult. Enter wife. And you prayed about it, right? I'll be in the room. And then I came out of the room, and this sermon came rather easy. It may not be a sermon that really touches you that much, but if it makes you think, then I feel like it's God's purpose. You know, we can struggle and we can write and correct, and doesn't mean that that's not a sermon that will be used, just not today. And then when it comes time to use it, I'm sure the Lord will make changes to it and use it for that purpose at that time. Today, I ask you, pray, seek the Lord's face. Ask Him how you can be used to glorify Him, and how you can get rid of the garbage in your life, spiritual, physical, whatever it is, or I'm even going to go this far, or financial. Anything that is between you and God, ask God to show you and let it go so you can draw closer to Him. Bow your heads. Lord, we come to that point in the service and I'm asking you, Lord, for each and every one of us, show us what you see. Show us what you see that is a hindrance to our walk with you. If it's possessions, help us to let it go. If it's an emotional scar, help us to let it go. Help us to not put our faith in mankind. Help us not to put our faith in finances, but help us to put our faith in you, Lord, and in our giving, and even in our receiving. Let us demonstrate the example of Jesus Christ. I ask you now, Lord, as we leave this place, be with each one of us. Watch over us, protect us, and Lord, give us peace. Give us your peace. I praise you, Lord, and I thank you for this day. Guide us in all that we do, that it glorifies the precious name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people say, amen. God bless you all. Have a blessed week.